From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. Big show today for you. My guest is legendary trance producer Simon Possford, best known for his work as Hallucinogen and with the X, Spangl and Younger Brother. Possford is one of the foremost figures in electronic dance music. Possford heads up Twisted Records, home of DJs Ott and Benji Vaughn. Simon Possford is currently on tour in the States doing Spangl sets, promoting the latest album, Ineffable Mysteries from Spangland. Let's get to the interview.
I guess I grew up in a house full of sort of bad music, like Elton John and Donna Summer and Queen. I remember playing a lot when I was a kid. Well, Elton John was quite good in those days. I guess it's a little more normal than what I play now. You know, there was always sort of music on in my house, and my grandfather was a composer. He wrote music for musicals in the 40s. For people like Bing Crosby and stuff. And then I had a friend of mine who was like a child prodigy at the piano, and I taught myself piano by watching him, basically. This was really around age seven, something like that. And he was kind of writing his own songs and stuff, you know, sort of children's songs, but, you know, he was kind of writing his own songs. And I'd watch him very carefully at the piano and sort of watch what keys he was pressing, and then when no one was around, I'd creep back to the piano and piece it together, figure out what he was doing, and sort of taught myself to play like that. And then one day, my parents came to school, and I took them to the piano and said, look what I can do, and played them a little song. And they said, oh, we better get you some piano lessons, which, of course, killed any passion for the instrument that I might have had immediately.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's a typical tale, I believe.
Exactly. So I didn't do lessons for very long. I think I did grade two on piano, and that was about it. And then sort of carried on through school, being in school bands and stuff like that, picked up guitar, taught myself guitar, and that time I didn't get any lessons. It was sort of only really, I guess, when I went and worked for Virgin Recording Studios, where I learned the process of how to actually make a record and learned the sort of the craft of production and engineering. Working with, you know, continually with amazing engineers like Spike Stent, you know, good bands like KLF and stuff. So that kind of gave me an inkling into the electronic side and the mixing, recording, engineering side. I went to work for Youth, the bass player of Killing Joke, who was starting a studio called Butterfly Studios, which a lot of the early sort of psychedelic trance came out of. And there's a whole kind of scene there. That's where I met Raja Ram, my partner in Spangl, and met a lot of sort of people that were into trance music. They're playing a lot of trance music, and I learned how to use a sampler. That was the first time I got my hands on an Akai sampler, and I thought, this is amazing. You know, you can take any sound and other bits of other people's records and piece them together into your own stuff. And then after that, I sort of carried on my own, went off, formed Twisted Records, and I guess that's how I sort of learned the craft of making a record.
I'd like to get back to Twisted Records in a minute, but first, what do you think it was about trance that really attracted you? I mean, there had to be something about it when you first heard it. You thought, oh, okay, you know, this is different, this is new. There was something that maybe caught you.
I suppose I'm a bit reluctant to say, but in a way, it was the drug. When I was in band at school and stuff, I hated electronic music. Never got into Kraftwerk or any of those sort of bands that were kind of popular around then, or Depeche Mode, or, you know, anything electronic, really. But it was when I took drugs and went to like a big old acid warehouse party, you know, it was at that point I thought, I don't want to hear lyrics, I don't want to hear some fretting or whinging about love lost, love gained, or anything in general, really. I wanted to hear weird alien sounds that sort of stimulate your mind in different ways. And I guess, you know, it's a different way of listening to music, electronic music. Kids now have sort of grown up with it so much that it's sort of become part of culture. It's much more mainstream culture now. So those sounds are so much more accessible to people today. But to me, it wasn't until I went to a big party and, you know, danced to it that I sort of switched my brain to that alternate listening where I could actually hear the soul in the electronic sounds.
There seem to be a lot of Eastern sounds and cultural references from varied parts of the world in your music. Was that sort of attractive to you in that same sort of way, that it was new and alien, just like your first introduction to electronic music at these big acid warehouses?
A little bit. That was sort of that, I guess, came later. I started listening to Indian music and a bit of rock and music and more world music, and I guess that was sort of when my musical taste started growing, and, you know, hearing all these different influences and different scales and stuff, that they started to appeal, I guess.
Ineffable Mysteries from Spongeland. That's the self-titled track from Spongel's latest album.
Now, you mentioned your partnership with Roger Ram earlier. Do you prefer to be in a group setting versus when you're out as a solo artist? In what sorts of ways do you find yourself maybe changing or, say, adapting your style when you are in a group setting versus performing solo?
It's sort of different, and I've sort of separated into studio and performing. In the studio, my first sort of main act was Hallucinogen, which was a trance act. And then back then, I was sort of so new to it and such a control freak. I wanted to do it all myself, which is why Hallucinogen was just me. And then I met Raj, and he's such a sort of charismatic and interesting guy with such a wealth of musical knowledge. And I thought it would be fun to make music with him. In a way, that was a sort of bridge, because he doesn't use the computer or play the instruments apart from flute. I could still sort of exercise a certain amount of control myself, but you know, have someone there sort of for inspiration. Then performing is completely different. Performing, I much prefer doing it with a band, with other people, vibing off other musicians, doing it as a group thing. You know, I've really enjoyed playing Younger Brother recently. We've done a few shows with a full band. Spongel sort of came about. We did that live. The music was just too complex to do live. There's so many layers. But in the end, when we decided to do it live, we realized we needed a band of, like, I think we had 12 or 13 musicians on stage at one time. You know, performing, that's much more fun than DJing on my own, doing Hallucinogen on my own. You know, it's much more fun involving in other people's energies and skills.
Come full circle. You know, you started in the studio as a producer, and then you began to make your own music and sort of branch out. And then you were brought in to play the role of producer on the Disco Biscuits' latest studio release, Planet Anthem. I imagine, you know, I spoke to Mark Brownstein about this. He said that you were such a big influence on him and what they were doing. And then you're brought in as a producer. What is your role when you're in the studio as a producer and not as an artist?
I think it's to bring out the best in the band. I mean, you know, technically the producer is supposed to bring the record in on time, under budget, to the best of the band's ability. But, you know, I'm probably not so good at the on-time budget part. But, you know, I can sort of point the band in a direction that maybe they haven't tried or will sort of excite them creatively and stimulate them as musicians themselves. You know, an example being the Concrete track on the new album, where I was in the studio recording with them, and it was a sort of fat beat, and we thought maybe, you know, Massive Attack kind of vocal or something like that would be really good on it. But and I noticed John Barber was always sort of writing his kind of poetry and lyrics, and he had this book just crammed full of stuff that he was always writing in. And so I said, you know, just get up on the mic and just read, you know, read some of the weird shit that you write down. And, you know, he was sort of quite excited to just get up and try that, and he tried it, and it sounded amazing. And we put a sort of, you know, put an effect on it, and it didn't really do very much to it. It just came out first take of something really cool. What if I was in your dream? Maybe you'd believe. Maybe it would be real to me. All these miniaturized fantasies, when you deserve it all. Then I wake, but you make me wait. Just grab your ear and say, I don't mind if I have to sit and wait.
That's the Ott remix of Concrete, Ott, of course, from Simon Possford's Twisted Records label. That remix is available on the Disco Biscuits Widgets EP. It's no secret Possford is a huge influence on the Biscuits, and they made sure to add him to last year's Camp Bisco bill. Turns out, that influenced him in return.
What do you see as the difference between maybe a big American electronic festival and, you know, you've performed all over the world? What do you see as the difference between, you know, a big festival in the States versus in Europe or maybe in Asia? I don't know if there are any differences or if you can see that there are certainly different trends or different type of person that's coming out to these shows.
I don't know. I mean, festivals were kind of similar all over the world, I guess. The main revelation for me was coming with Benji as younger brother to perform at Camp Bisco for the first time. We did it all off laptops, and it was all electronic. And, you know, meanwhile, all these bands like the Biscuits are playing it as a band with drummers and real instruments and stuff. We kind of felt a bit lame up there with our laptops and thought, no, you know, really, we should be doing this as a band. And especially as the music we were making, we were adding more and more instruments, playing guitars ourselves and playing drums and bass and stuff. And when you have a guitar coming off a laptop, it sort of sounds, it's a bit, something a bit weird about it, which, you know, had never struck us, because the festivals we'd played at before had been trance festivals or mainly electronic festivals, where people are used to DJs are aware of the sort of fact that you're using samples and things like that, and it doesn't really matter. It's sort of what comes out of the speakers that's important. Whereas, you know, we came to America and thought, actually, visually, it doesn't look quite right. There's something a bit weird about a guitar coming out or a sample coming out of a laptop, and really you need a drummer and a guitarist and a bass player. And so, you know, Camp Bisco is sort of a revelation for us in that respect.
Who's making some music right now that's really catching your ear that maybe has been a big influence to you recently? Or, you know, you're just in awe of what they've been doing?
I mean, a lot of stuff sort of influences me in different ways. Recently, I've been listening to John Hopkins, which is sort of, you know, he combines the classical thing with the glitchy thing quite well. So we tried a bit of that on some of the new Younger Brother stuff with varying success. We did one where we particularly sort of tried to do John Hopkins style, and actually it didn't make it onto the album because it didn't work out so well. But he would be one that's inspired. I mean, God, there's just so much. I'd probably have to get my iPod and start flicking through my iPod
that's okay.
to see what inspires me. But, you know, many things do, from sort of books to little scientific concepts or something that sort of get my brain going, to little bits of gear. You know, I got a modified Speak and Spell, you know, that old instrument that was on the E.T. movie.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I saw a terrific video about you and your studio and the sort of things you have around. You had an old keyboard that a friend of yours had maybe bent for you, producing all sorts of psychedelic and rather frightening noises. Are there any new pieces of equipment that you've come across or software that you're super excited about? I mean, it seems like you've already got such an intricate setup, but you know, someone like you is probably always collecting.
Yeah, the circuit bent stuff's obviously quite interesting, although they generally just sort of make low bit noise, which is good as a flavor.
Yeah.
So I think probably the main thing is the power of the computer, the way the technology is advanced in computing so much that you can really do so much inside your computer now. Whereas perhaps, you know, that's probably why we started doing electronic music, was because you could do it at home in your bedroom with an Atari computer, 1 meg Atari and an Akai sampler and a couple of synths, and you could come out with a great sort of electronic record. But to do something that sounded like a band in your bedroom, you couldn't do it. You needed access to the big studios and stuff. Whereas now, that's all big studio technology has become available to everybody with a powerful computer. So in a way, that's one of the reasons we've returned to the sort of the band sound, the way the computer has enabled us to do that. And you've got full multi-track recording now. You can record your instruments and still process them electronically and make a guitar sound into some weird kind of singing banjo or something. I don't know.
I guess anything's possible at this point.
Yeah, anything really is possible at this point.
Spongle East, spoken here from Ineffable Mysteries from Spongleland. Let's wrap up my interview with Simon Posford.
I know you're involved in so many different projects. What's the big pet project you have going now? Is it a younger brother album that's coming out in 2010, or what are you pushing at
right
the moment?
Right now, we finished the Spongle album, and that's released, and that's our fourth album, which I'm really pleased with, actually. I think it shows a sort of certain maturity and a sort of weaved a lot of different influences and things that I've learned over the years that finally have sort of weaved into a more successful outcome of what we were trying to achieve. You know, we always start with a blank canvas. You never know quite what you're going to achieve. We very rarely have an idea for a song formed in our heads. We just start with a blank computer screen and start putting in sounds. So I'm quite pleased with that. However, the most current thing, I guess, is the Younger Brother album, which we've just about finished. We're debating whether to mix it again, trying to seek funding for that. So, you know, and performing that, in trying to get funding for that, we've performed it as a band in front of a load of industry people and a few fans in London just recently. And that's always really exciting I just really love performing that as a band. It's so much fun.
That's terrific. Thank you so much for being on the UNS podcast. It was a real pleasure.
Thanks very much.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. For help with this week's program, I'd like to thank Rochelle Cohen with Coast to Coast Entertainment and, of course, Simon Posford. For more info on Simon Posford and check out some of his upcoming tour dates, please visit theUNS.com. On next week's program, my guest is John Gallup, an electronic music promoter based in Kansas. His group, Cicada Rhythm, has been bringing major artists to the plains for more than a decade and is chiefly responsible for the electronic stages at this year's Wakarusa Festival. If you have any questions or comments about the UNS or you'd like to be a guest on the program, contact me at anand@theUNS.com. Remember to visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. If you want to be a regional rep for the UNS in your area, contact Avi@theUNS.com. Catch you next week.